2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. And I am your host today, Boomer's Daddy. Joining me is the one, the only, Shy. What is up, brother? Day four. No, man.
It's been some crazy games. We've seen some crazy slates. We've seen some crazy scores. We've seen a lot of crazy.
Yesterday was stupid.
Yesterday was pretty stupid.
And some of it was stupid in a good way, some of it was stupid in a bad way. Like, okay, so let's address the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tyus Jones. You just can't help it. We talked about it on Monday with the Steven Adams situation on Sunday, and you just can't help it. It happens. It's gonna happen. It sucks because the first two times it's happened this season, it's been chalk guys. Adams was pretty highly owned on a four-game slate on Sunday, and Tyus Jones was 25-30% owned, depending on the site in the tournament yesterday. Yeah. It completely changes the scope of the slate yesterday, though. Without Tyus Jones, Karl Anthony Towns and Derrick Rose both go bananas.
Bananas.
That does not happen if Jones is in, because it doesn't need to happen. And then it just kind of continued. I think all four of the early games were within 2 points of each other, within 3 minutes left to go in the game. Two of them went into overtime, right?
Yes, I think it may have been three, man.
It was either two or three, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, and then you're sitting there, you're thinking, all right, well, this is why I stack the West Coast games. This is why I go all in on the West Coast games. I want my late night West Coast hammer. And those games were kind of snooze fests.
When you compare them to the early ones, yeah, but they were, I mean, scores were up there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you compare them to the early ones, they were kind of snooze fest. They were kind of, all except for the Lakers game, which came down to the last, the final buzzer. The other two were pretty much decided halfway through the fourth, if not earlier. So, pretty much. They took the suspense out of it.
That Sun Spurs game was a snooze fest.
That's just kind of the way it goes. But we've got six games going here tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a little confusing right now.
It's a little confusing. There's a lot of news we're still waiting for. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 games that are at 2:30 or over. I mean, God, that's crazy. One game in particular here I absolutely love, and it's not going to be as chalky as the other ones. But let's jump in.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, let's start at the point guard position here. It's Russell Westbrook than everybody else as far as pricing, like,
okay,
and projections are concerned. Like, there's a tier. I'm talking in tiers here, guys. Like, he's not the only option. That's not what I meant. I know it's weird coming from a Thunder fan and everything, but that's not what I was meaning. I promise. What I mean is Russell Westbrook is a tier all by himself, and then it's everybody else. Not only in, like, terms of ceiling and production and stuff like that, but also salary. So there we go.
Yeah. I'm going to be – so there's two point guards here that have the type of game that I'm looking to attack. And the first one is obviously Russell Westbrook because – well, he's Russell Westbrook. Tied for the highest totals. I mean, actually second highest. But, yeah, 231 in that game. I mean, these guys just – these guys being Charlotte, they're all about just Kemba scoring. And then they've got some good defenders on the perimeter, but – ain't nobody stopping him. So, I mean, I'm gonna have a lot of Westbrook, and I'm gonna be pairing him with Damian Lillard in tournaments. I think the both of those guys are in a pretty good spot, really good games. and for me, it makes no difference if Peyton's in or not. Dame doesn't care. So, those are my two right now.
Yeah, I'm going right back to the well right there. Those are pretty much the two that I've got kind of slid in to a lot of my lineup so far. I do like Kyrie Irving going against Milwaukee tonight. I think in order for the Celtics to actually keep up, they're going to need somebody to kind of take the load off and step up and become that scorer. We saw him, as we told you.
We did.
We saw him finally start to step up and be good. And start to see or knock down his shot a little bit more. He's still too cheap, in my opinion. He's 7,600, and he's got the ability to go for 50. And if Jaylen Brown is out, then, I mean, he's going to get a couple more shots. So it's just kind of one of those things that, you know, it's this mid-tier, man, it's going to be strong all year long, I have a feeling.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a point guard league, right? I mean, or at least the guards league. So, I mean, as players start to come in and, you know, you look at Trae Young, and you've got De'Aaron Fox, and you've got Colin Sexton. And I'm talking about younger players. You know, they've got Ben Simmons, excuse me, the guys that are really young just coming in. Like, they're all coming in a guard era, and they know that, and there's going to be a lot of offense from that from this spot here, and yeah, it's going to be pretty much that the whole time. So I brought up Ben Simmons. Kind of on the fence.
I am too.
I mean, like, I'd prefer playing, I think, Lillard at 200 less. I want some Simmons because he's got that ability to go off. But given the way the Clippers roster is constructed, it's going to have to be a Ben Simmons night. So, I mean, who's going to guard him? It's not going to be Gortat. I mean, obviously we know it's going to be some Boban, but...
Wait. Boban guarding Ben Simmons?
No. What I said was, it's the way the Clippers roster is constructed.
Right.
It's going to have to be a Joel Embiid kind of night.
No, you said Ben Simmons kind of night.
Oh, sorry.
That's where I was confused.
Yeah.
I'm so, like, wait, what?
So who's going to really guard him? So I think, you know, with the majority of the offense probably running through him, I mean, he's got assists upside, but at 9,800, kind of prefer Dame, who's looking to score.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Dame's not going to have to deal with Patrick Beverley, who, by the way, I rewatched that play again. On Russ, and my feelings haven't changed about Patrick Beverley.
You were the whole state of Oklahoma, and I think that so I watched the interview afterwards in the locker room, and he was like, I was going for a loose ball. No, you weren't. And if you were going for a loose ball, you were masking loose ball, you know, as trying to take him out. But yeah, it was definitely a little bit shady.
Yeah. I mean, me and my dad were at the first game when he came back with the Rockets, when Russ came back from knee surgery, and every time he touched the ball, it was just massive. And then he popped off with the, drop it, bro, it was 7 years ago, and then he goes and does it again? Oh, yeah, he's definitely not getting free beer in Oklahoma.
He'd be looking to get any beer, but... So moving on. So we have a probable De'Aaron Fox going up against.
I don't see how he doesn't play.
Atlanta Hawks? Yeah, he should. He should.
Especially since he was questionable the other night with back and ended up playing.
I don't. Yeah, and I think he played a little bit less than usual, too.
He did.
Because of that.
Frank Mason came in 6 minutes into the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me with this?
Yeah, well, Jaeger going to Jaeger. But is it Jaeger? Jaeger? I don't even know.
It's Jaeger. Dave Jaeger.
Yeah, Jaeger. But that's Sam's favorite coach. I like it. I mean, there's obviously some concern about that again, that, you know, will his back tighten up? So you probably have to limit him to tournaments because of that. Not sure if I'll have too much exposure because of that. I think it's a little bit risky, but if you have enough lineups to where you can, you know, take a few risks, then you might as well. But if you're only playing a tight core, I don't know if you want to put him in there because of that. But the matchup is really nice.
Yeah, especially at 8,200.
Yeah, it's really
nice. It's really hard to do.
He's been playing well, man.
Yeah, he has. Okay, let's talk about Elfrid Payton. He's probable to come back tonight.
I think he's still questionable, isn't he?
I saw probable earlier, so it might have been changed.
Yeah.
Yep, questionable still. Okay. Well, let's not talk about Elfrid Payton.
Yeah.
Because I doubt he plays. So we'll touch that in notes if we need to. Okay, so with Jaylen Brown out, if he is out, okay, does that kind of shift some interest into Terry Rozier a little bit?
A ton.
Okay.
A ton.
Glad to see we're on the same page.
Yeah, like I'm gonna play a lot of him. It'll make me come off of my Russ and Lillard exposure. That's how much I like it. Just so I can fit him in more. I mean, you know, he's priced as though he's a backup guard, right? Who plays 20, 22, 23 minutes a game. And if, you know, Jaylen sits and he comes in and he plays some two guard as well as a backup point guard and he plays 28, 30 minutes, lock and loaded.
Yeah, I kind of agree there too. So it's just, I mean, $3,600 is just, that's just too cheap for me.
36, is that where he is on DK?
Oh, sorry, that was Tim Frazier. Terry Rozier is at
44.
And we have. $4,200 on DK.
I mean, it's too cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just we have
and
to
he's
wait
viable
see.
Anyways because he still gets run, but now that he's going to get more, he could get more run.
Yeah.
And you're probably have a very good chance of not knowing before lock. So you're going to get now a guy that's that cheap, possibly getting 30 minutes at a lower ownership. Ooh.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna be hard to say no to that. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hard.
Wish we got a cheat code on that on FanDuel. Anyways, let's move to shooting guard here. Drew Holiday. You didn't let us down.
Never does. Well, not never, but not often.
Yeah. So
I mean,
I doubt we're gonna know. Because Elfrid Payton has been upgraded to the questionable part. He's not already just been confirmed out like he was yesterday.
Yeah.
So maybe that lowers his ownership a little bit. I still think he's too cheap if he's running the point guard. 8,300 is a lot, but it's not as much. So a good build for me, based on what we just kind of talked about, is you can go Westbrook, Rozier, and then back up to Drew, and that kind of offsets, you know, you losing out on Dame.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good way to go. So I do like that. What are we doing with Buddy Hield?
We're playing him until he cools off. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I haven't seen him go through a stretch like this since he was at OU. And it's not like he started out cold. He's had one bad game this year, guys. Yeah. One bad game. Now, yeah. I will say this. I don't mind him on FanDuel, but I am definitely, I'm loading up on DraftKings. He's 6,400.
As you should.
So
there's no reason why you shouldn't. I mean, if you tell me, I mean, I don't mind him on FanDuel either. I think they're for where they priced him up, rightfully so. You know, you can make a case for not playing him. I mean, not that I like the matchup, but just to give you an example, Chris Middleton is 400 lower. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, Bazemore is 1,100 lower in the same game. I mean, there's all kinds of things to look at here, but yeah, I mean, it's hard not to play the guy. I mean, he's got the upside, and the thing is too, he runs a lot of point guard duties as well. So he's not even like just shooting now, which he's doing really well, but he's running some of the point guard duties. I mean, they have got like four guys on that team that do that. So it's not like it's just him, but yeah, I mean, he's on a tear, man. I love it versus a team that for whatever reason is not really doing much, on either side of the ball. I mean, it's kind of an easy play on DraftKings. I don't see how you don't play him.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way, okay? He started out at $5,300 on DraftKings. He's now up to $6,400. That's after he got a price bump. Like, he had to pop two games of over 45 to get a price off of $5,500. Like, yeah. He's had one game under 26. Like, the Buddy Hield of old, and this is why Sacramento traded Boogie Cousins for him. Like, he's very, 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 very good. He's not Klay Thompson level, but he's got a stroke. And Sacramento's learned to use him. And he's learned to work very, very well off of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
This Sacramento Kings team is not going to be your run-of-the-mill, let's just roll in and bowl over him team. Especially right now. I don't want to say that he's an all-in type of candidate, but my God, at his upside for his profit potential on DraftKings?
Yeah. Against the Hawks.
Against the Hawks? Now, the only thing I am a little worried about is if he sees Kent Bazemore defense. Like, a staple. But I don't think he's going to. Because the Hawks have shown us this year that they're not playing one-on-one. They are switching everything.
The whole league is. I mean, it's just the way of the league.
So,
the way of the league.
I mean, I'm not... So this is going to be... This is one of those games where you can game stack it. You can throw in a Buddy Hield, a Trey Young, a De'Aaron Fox if he plays, because we'll know. Kane Bazemore, Taurean Prince, Valencia. I mean, you could throw everybody in this game is viable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a 230. It's a 233 total.
Yep.
So
I love that game stack for sure.
Yeah. So it's evenly spread out, unlike, you know, the Charlotte Oklahoma City game, where you know you're going to get out of certain parts of the game.
Right.
So, all right, let's go on. Let's keep moving on. Chris Middleton, if Jaylen Brown's out, does that open your interest a little bit more on Middleton?
Yeah, a little bit more.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, you know, Rozier's no slouch on D if they put him in there. Marcus Smart's no slouch on D.
Yeah, they've
got kind of my defense. Question. Yeah, they got defense across the board, but Middleton's no slouch either, and he's still a little bit pricey, but so I might want to look elsewhere for this, but I'm not off him completely.
Yeah, I think he can still get hot. I think I'd much rather have Bledsoe, just because of the fact that, you know, he's going to see more. I don't know, man. I really, really, really hate picking on guards. I hate picking on Boston, period, without not named big men.
Yeah.
And they've got to be good big men.
Yeah.
Like, Even Giannis kind of scares me a little bit tonight. I'm just going to throw it out there. Like, Giannis kind of scares me a little bit tonight. Not that he's not capable of having a good game, but...
See, I'm the polar opposite. I Giannis is where I want to go. So we'll get to that in the small forwards, yeah. But I mean...
Okay, so we're kind of breezing through this because this is a very, very deep position and there's a lot of people that we can get to. Mm-hmm. Markelle Fultz against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's showing us that he can start to handle the ball a little bit more. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen, after that last game, this is the guy that needs to have the ball in his hands as much, if not more, than Ben Simmons. Those are your two primary ball handlers, but Markelle Fultz is a better point guard as far as ball handling around the perimeter and moving off of screens. Now, the better playmaker, obviously, is Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
But ball handling, it's Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
So, now, if one of them can learn how to freaking make a jump shot...
That's where the issue is. I mean, it's kind of where the Lakers are. You've got all these ball handlers and playmakers, and nobody's going to shoot. I think Fultz is okay. I mean... I kind of would rather play Redick. I mean, you've got versus
same
the Clippers.
Price. I mean,
same price. You've got his old team. You know, you've got. I mean, he's gonna shoot. There's a lot of points in this game. It's got to come from somewhere outside of Embiid.
Yeah, the only issue I have with that is Redick is more of like
got to make his threes.
Yeah, he's more scoring dependent.
Yeah, which you're right, but Redick's been doing this for a really long time.
Like, yeah, no, I agree. I think he's a great play. I love J.J. Redick as a basketball player and as a fantasy asset when he's priced right in certain matchups. But it's one of those things, like, I don't know if I would go there completely in cash games.
No. He's a tournament play for me, for sure.
Okay. I've heard some Dennis Schroeder love.
Potentially.
I don't know why.
Well, I'll tell you why. I mean, I got the wrong game. Well, it's probably he's only at 5K and people are not used to him being 5K. But, you know, when you're playing 25 minutes, you're going to be at 5K. I mean, even, you know, Lou Williams is at 5K. He's getting the same. So,
I think Lou Williams has got more upside.
He definitely has more upside. Absolutely, he has more upside. So I'm looking. Yeah, I'm looking at. I've got a pretty healthy amount of Lou Williams and J.J. Redick. I think those are the two guys that I want to target. So from this game, guards wise. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. Malcolm Brogdon against Boston. I kind of off of that today at $5,500. Then we start to go down. Amon Shumpert's questionable, isn't he?
I think so. Well, he's actually probable.
Oh, yeah. Sure is. So, okay. So, if Amon Shumpert's back tonight, I don't mind playing him again. Unless he's going to be limited. So, we'll see. Frank Mason... I guess you could take a shot on at $3,800, considering the fact that, you know, Fox could be limited. It's a tournament move, and it's a tournament move only. But understand that, you know, one of the reasons why Buddy Hield has been so good is he can handle the ball. That's what he did at Oklahoma, and that's why he kind of struggled a little bit in New Orleans. He was learning to play off the ball, so... that kind of takes away from my interest in Frank Mason a little bit. Marcus Smart, if Jaylen Brown is out at 4K,
yeah,
I love it. He's active on both sides of the ball. There's a lot to love at this position today, and I think there's going to be a lot of high scores as far as multipliers, as far as salary over profit.
So I'm going to... bring up two or three names here that I am going to be taking shots at in tournaments. Then I'll tell you why so you don't have to ask. First guy is going to be Malik Monk. Number one, game pace. Number two, we talked about last game how they, the coach is asking him to become the second scorer on the team. I mean, you would think it's Jeremy Lamb, but Jeremy Lamb plays most of his minutes with Kemba. So he's not going to get the ball as much.
Yep.
Monk comes in with the second unit. He's being looked at as to be the primary scorer. Monk is a scorer. He's $4,300. He's not minimum priced, but it's still pretty cheap. He's not going to see 30 minutes or anything, but that's why he's priced at $4,300.
Yeah, he saw 24 minutes last game against Miami, shot 7-10 from the field, 4-6 from beyond the arc, and we know that one of the downfalls on the Thunder is they can't defend the three-point line that well.
Right, right.
So I love the play.
So I have interest there. Next guy I have interest in, again, this play here is going to be strictly a large field tournament play, and that's going to be Nick Stauskas. number one, it's game pace. Number two, outside of AD, you're going to see him, Miro, and then pretty much guards. I mean, yeah, I know Moore is a small forward, but he's pretty much a guard. And so I can see them going with the same kind of to match with their, obviously their two backcourt with Dame and CJ, but, throwing in Stauskas in there. Maybe with Aminu to guard Mirotić and then Nurkić if he can keep up. So I think you might see a reasonable amount of minutes from a really cheap Nick Stauskas who, I mean, he only had one good game. I, this is not, you know, it's funny because ever since that game, every single time the Blazers play, I get asked about him. I'm like, don't play him. You're chasing a good game. This might be the game where he has another good game. I'm not going to say he's going to blow up like last game, but I don't mind it in tournaments here.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the small forward position. Let's start talking about him.
Yeah, might as well. So this is one of the few times we're not on the same page, so I'll make my case, you make yours. So for me, Giannis is in a situation where, I mean, yeah, he handles the ball a lot as well, but the thing about Giannis is he's a big man. I mean, he's a small forward, but he pretty much plays their power forward, I mean, for the most part. So you want to see, you said earlier, you want to attack Boston with bigs and good bigs. I mean, this is about as good as it gets. He can do so much more outside of what traditional bigs do, with his ball handling, with his mid-range. He's now hitting the three. Brook Lopez doesn't get any rebounds, so he might grab 15 of them for all I know. You know? So I think everything goes through Giannis regardless, and I think his hands on the ball, as much as it is, it's going to be hard for me to turn that down.
Here's the issue. I was trying to look up what his game log was, but
with Boston,
I see it, but I don't know if he's going to be able to have free reign like he normally does. I think he's going to see a combination of Jason Tatum, Jalen, or Marcus Smart, Gordon Hayward. Not that Gordon Hayward's a huge threat defensively. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is like, yes, Giannis is a freak. Yes, Giannis is amazing, and I'm going to have some Giannis. I'm just saying, I think I'm gonna temper expectations tonight. Boston has that weird capability of kind of taking your game plan and working it against you.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens is a very, very, very good coach.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they're gonna make it life as if anybody has the ability to make life difficult for Giannis, it's Boston.
Sure.
So that's don't where disagree I with am. You. It's I feel like Giannis is, you know, AD's at 12-8, Westbrook's at 12K. You know, Giannis is at 11-5. All right, let's plug in Giannis because we're going to get that 55-70 or 60-point plus upside, and we're going to get it at the discount. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's exactly why I'm so high on him too, is because he's lower than those other studs, and he's got pretty much the same ceiling. So I mean, but yeah, the matchup is something to think about, but. I mean, that we've got very few guys that are pretty matchup proof, and he's up there with them.
And as I say that, I pull it up, and you could just blow everything up in my face. So, the last two seasons, they have played four times. Okay?
Should be eight.
And this, right? Well, year. This it's counting this season, so let me pull up three.
Yeah.
That's a little bit better, although it's still kind of... They've played six times over the last three seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Going back to January of 2017, his lowest fantasy output is in January of 2017, and it's 39.4 on FanDuel. We're talking about FanDuel scoring here. Okay. Every game other than that, his lowest is a 52.8.
Give me the highs.
61. So it's a very, very tight range of outcomes, especially if you take that 39 out of there. It looks like one of these games went into overtime. Because I don't know how you can play 45 minutes in a game.
Yeah, it could be.
So I'm assuming that one went into overtime. But, I mean, 33, 36, and we know that Giannis is going to play minutes. That's not the point. It's just, oh, my God. And this is what you would expect. Okay, so for cash games, you take that approach and you play him because he's the lower stud with the same floor and same ceiling and everything like that, and he's not as expensive as the other ones. Maybe you play the ownership card in tournaments. I don't know. I'm not. This not just basically bit. You just basically heard what my process kind of goes through on the pod completely, and me really flip around on a player live. So. Because I was all set. Looking at it, knowing Boston, knowing all of this, I was all set. I wasn't gonna play Giannis. I might be changing that tune now.
Yes, sir.
So
moving on.
Yes, moving on. Paul George.
Man, it's gonna be hard not to play him too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, shooting guard in here, there's a lot of depth, right? So to me, it's almost like if you do decide to play less Giannis, you can kind of make up for it somewhat with George. I mean, this game should be close. This game should be fast. That's where he, you know, thrives. It's a pretty high total in that game, 231.5. He's 9,300 on FanDuel. He will be the only thing that concerns me about Paul George is that they will probably decide to put Batum on him. And if somebody on that team worries me defensively, it's Nicholas Batum.
Yeah.
So that's the only hesitation I have there. I mean, he could still get off, but it might be a little bit limited.
At 9,300, I think he could still reach, like... Okay, so let's look at the old GPP value chart here. And normally, when we talk about chalkier players. See, 9,300, you need 6. So he needs 55 to reach GPP value. I think he could come close.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on the higher end spectrum.
Yeah.
Meaning it's a lower, it's a very, very low probability.
Yeah.
It might take overtime in order to get that. But I think in cash games, you could definitely, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to build today. This is what's weird. This Giannis thing has got me all kind of flustered. So.
All right. My next favorite. Can't believe I'm bringing up this guy's name. He's been a consistent monster here. Nemanja Bjelica. Going up against the Hawks.
Wait, how can you not, like, can't believe it? We've been talking about him now for a week.
No, that's what I just said. He's been a consistent monster. That's what I said. But I'm just, it's still, and here's the thing. The last time we spoke about him prior to the week was when someone was missing from the Wolves last year. That may have been Butler. Yeah, when Butler had that stretch when he hurt something and he was out for, a month or whatever it was, he got up to 7K again. I mean... He's a good player. I mean, he just, when he gets the opportunity, he produces. Over 2 grand less than Paul George in a significantly better matchup. He doesn't have the complete upside Paul George has, but he's also 2K less. So, very, very consistent against a really, really horrible defense. I think I like it a lot.
Yeah, this position is very, 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 very soft today. I mean, we're about to talk about a guy here in a little bit that, I'm going to tell you not to play because he got a freaking $1,000 price increase after one good game.
Yeah, I'm not playing him either.
But, Nick Batum, I think, is in play. Taurean Prince, I think, is in play. I'm going to continue to attack Sacramento shooting guards or small forwards because for everything that Bjelica can do on the offensive end, he can't do anything defensively. So,
yeah, don't leave out Gallinari. He
was the next guy I was about to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really sure who he's gonna see a lot of Robert Covington.
Probably.
I actually like Robert Covington a little bit more, for $100 more.
I've got a lot of Covington. Here's the thing, though. You might end up seeing Covington maybe on Tobias Harris, because Tobias is not your typical power forward.
He's a stretch four.
Yeah, he's a ball handling, perimeter four.
Who the heck is Simmons gonna guard?
I'm thinking Simmons might end up going on Gallo. I don't know. We'll have to see how it works out, but it's gonna be an issue for them, because either way you do it, the other guy is going to have a pretty easy time.
Okay, so we need to figure this out. I'm going to have to pull up the game and watch it.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I'm going to have to pull up the Sixers and watch it and figure out how, when you've got guys like... Because when you've got a guy that is on the court like a Tobias Harris and like a Danilo Gallinari at the same time, how does Philly attack it? Does Robert Covington go on the better ball handler and Simmons go on the spot-up shooter? That's, as you talk through it, that seems like it would be the better one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're sitting there thinking about it, I think I would want to put Covington on the perimeter a little bit more because Ben Simmons is more athletic than Covington, and I know Tobias is going to drive, and I have Embiid there to help.
Sure.
Which basically just means I like Gortat if he's going to help on Tobias driving all the time.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Did that make sense as I talked through that?
Everything minus the Gortat part, yes.
Well, I mean, then you've got to think that Tobias can just dish. Well, he doesn't dish. Never mind.
Not much.
So that's why I want to know. I want to know, like, how they deal with that. So I'm going to have to go back and watch that game while Cameron's sleeping.
Cool.
So, okay. CeeDee Osman against Denver. This is in Cleveland. Gary Harris, man, you're letting me down a little bit. We talk you up on the defensive end, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the lack of length guarding the three or what, but
Levine went off yesterday on them.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Went off.
Are these guys with length? Are they just?
So here's what I notice about Denver, and I'm a big fan of the Nuggets. I really am. I like them. I like their team.
We got to get TJ McBride on to figure out what's going on.
I'm going to DM him today. But what I'm thinking is,
did I just give that away?
Yeah.
Kinda. Sorry.
There's our surprise. But on the road, it's like they forget how to defense. Like, it's amazing. At home, they've really picked up the defense. At home, they're really hard to beat at home. Like, they might be competing for the top record in the league at home. And then they go on the road, and it's like, where's the defense? So there's definitely something there. And then the next thing, I don't even think Harris really guards the three as much as he does the two. They really like, which is why they start this Torrey Craig kid.
I'm, for those that don't know, I've got the start of, it doesn't have nearly enough data, okay, but I've got the start of ADVP going, okay, and just kind of peeking at it right now, the small forward is the worst position as far as their defensive rating. Can you actually guess what their best one is?
Best defensive rating?
Yeah. By position? It might shock you.
Is it going to be power forward?
No. It is the point guard position.
Wow.
So, but, like I said, I mean, we've got 8 games under our belt, so.
Yeah. But I mean, which it's still data, right? I mean, yes. So it's the way the games have been going. So there's something to that. But I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting, man, for sure.
Yeah. So okay, if you want to take a shot on DeAndre Bembry tonight, I don't mind that. There's not a lot to love on the lower part. Do you want to tell these guys, or should I? About a guy in this Cleveland-Denver game.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Feel free. I'm not going to play him, so you might as well.
Don't chase Sam Decker, guys. Let's figure out what this Cleveland rotation is going to be under Larry Drew, and then we'll go from there. If Sam Decker comes out tonight, because, let's see, he played... Oh, man. I got out of that. Sam Decker, if he comes out and plays another 29 minutes, then we can, if he plays anywhere between 24 to 29 minutes, then we can start looking at him and talking to him again. But don't chase the points. I mean, he went off. We talked about him because he'd be sneaky on the pod that you didn't get to hear. But we did talk about him. Mm-hmm. I will put my son's life on that one. I'm just not chasing him today, even with the position being as weak as it is.
You're going to think I'm nuts.
I already think you're nuts.
I know. Most people do. I'd rather play MKG over Digger.
Yeah, I do think you're nuts.
But that's just me.
I'd rather play Justin Jackson.
Not bad either. Not bad either.
So maybe Amari Spellman?
It's a big maybe.
How about John Henson? But this is giving you an idea of like guys I would rather play. I'm just not playing him.
Yeah, so same here.
All right, let's move to the power forward position. Anthony Davis. Gosh, man.
I mean, we don't have to say much. I mean, the guy, I mean, you know, like, I think I played him one out of, like, 50 lineups last night. So I was happy about that.
Yeah, I was glad I didn't force it.
I kind of let our domination station guide me, and he's like, yeah, slow down with this one. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
It also told me to play 45% Derrick Rose, so I listened. I'm happy.
I X'd him out.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Not with the minutes bump, man.
I didn't think he was good. But see, here's the thing with that. It changed. Everything changed with Tyus Jones.
It did, but before Tyus Jones got scratched, we got word that Rose was going to be starting. We heard that before.
But his minutes didn't change.
Right, but the opportunity did. Because now you put him in the starting lineup and you're taking away Butler's offense. I'm like, somebody's got to score. And the reason why I didn't play Tyus Jones was not because of anything. Obviously, nobody knew what was going to happen. But I didn't play Tyus Jones because Tyus Jones is not a fraction of the scorer Derrick Rose is. His upside is with his steals. He can put the ball in the hole too, but his steals upside. And Utah's not a very sloppy team. That was my thinking. So obviously it worked out right after the fact, but just to kind of give you insight into my thinking at the time, that's what my thinking was.
I see it.
So
I'm just saying, I just couldn't do it.
So back to AD.
Yeah.
Because we're on power forwards. So, I mean, so Nurkic is known to get in foul trouble. Every game. The one or two out of five games that he does well. So I don't know how anyone on this team is going to guard Anthony Davis. I don't. I don't even think if Nurkic doesn't get in foul trouble, I still don't think he's going to be able to guard him. So I like him a lot more here. What I'm hoping for is that after his, way undervalued performance last night.
Go ahead.
Okay. After he underperformed last night, that everyone's like, oh, he's too expensive and he's hurt and his elbow's sore and blah, 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 that nobody touches him, I'd like to play him a little bit.
You know what he did against Portland last March?
I think
I
remember.
I say this because there are very, very few like times where you can reference this is what he did against this team last year and it hold weight. Portland basically has 90% of their roster back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it holds weight. He went for 78. The time in January went for 53. Now in October of last season, he went for 6, but that's because he got hurt 5 minutes into the game and didn't return.
Right.
So you take that out. His lowest production point is 49, and that was in March of 2017. He's hit 70 twice in the last 2 years, and 60 once, and then a 50 and a 50. So yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely can school this front court.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, yeah, go ahead.
That's where I'm going. I mean, yeah. He's going to be.
This is your hammer. Him and Dame are your hammer, and I would not be shocked to pair them up together. In fact, if you want to lead with a Dame / Drew / AD lineup, I'm all down.
I'm with that too. Yeah, I'm with that too.
So, let's see here. Man, I'm still not used to not going game by game because I love talking game by game. Paul Millsap. Kind of saved his night last night a little bit. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. I mean, 34, it's about what Paul Millsap is. He's more of a cash game type player that'll test his ceiling two or three times a month. And, you know, then he's a great cash game play, especially if he stays in that 65 to 7K range.
Sure.
So that's kind of where I am on that. Nice family, Mike Conley. Jason Tatum with Jaylen Brown out. Yes, I skipped over the other guys or the other two guys for a reason.
That's okay. So, Jason Tatum. I mean, he's been pretty much their second scorer on the team all season. Wow. You know, that's...
I would argue that he was their first up until Kyrie started to get a shot back last game.
Well, that's what I mean, because Kyrie's always going to be their first option. I mean, when they're a healthy team, and, you know, even more so than Gordon Hayward. And nothing to do with he has less minutes, but when they're on the court together, Tatum is the second scorer. And he's going to need to score. But the question is, again, on the flip side of the matchup, he's going to be matched up on both sides with Giannis. And I really don't like that for him. Now, can he still go off? Yes. Can they set plays to get him off of Giannis? Yes. But it concerns me a little bit. A lot of it.
Yeah, it does too. That's why I kind of brought it up. That length is something that is unmatched. And when you have a 7'3 wingspan,
yeah,
it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Okay, Tobias Harris.
I mean, it goes back to our discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, once you go and take a look at that at Philly and what they do there, we'll let all of our VIPs know kind of how we think it'll play out.
Yep. Absolutely. Dario Saric. Now, this is why I brought up Tobias Harris and Dario Saric kind of in the same conversation. Saric has not played well.
Uh-uh.
At all.
No.
He's not taking as many shots as he was last year. He's definitely not hitting them, especially from beyond the arc. The rebounds are still there. The assists are wavering back and forth. But it's kind of like as Markel Fultz gets more comfortable in this offense and in the NBA, Dario Saric gets less comfortable. Or am I just like, are they not tied together and I'm just, it kind of seems like they are to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely got a big, plays a big factor. I mean, there's no question. I think he also kind of has been the forgotten man there, you know. He's been, I mean, you've got Ben and you've got Embiid and now you've got Fultz and then you've got Redick and then he's kind of just like
Covington and now Sarge.
It's kind of like, well, I'm lost. And he's been playing like it. Kind of like not at all the same situation, but a very similar body language from what I'm seeing from Jabari Parker. But, I mean, not the same players, but in terms of body language, in terms of like, man, I wanted to start, man. They didn't start him in Chicago. He's starting here, Saric is, but he's just not really getting involved. He's not really defending. I mean, yeah, I can't. For me, it's an X out.
Yeah. And normally we love playing guys that are 5K and are going to play close to 30 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But unfortunately, he's got to kind of show it a little bit.
Yeah.
Montrezl Harrell.
I don't know if this is his game.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah, we like to play him. This is really good because
fast-paced games.
Because these last two games were, you know, not as up-paced, not as small-ballish. You know, last game with Adams and here with Embiid. So let his price go down a little bit.
Yep.
And let's wait for the next small ball game and we mash him.
Yep. I'd rather play Marvin Bagley for $100 cheaper.
Yeah, why do we have him projected so low minutes-wise?
Because he's... Let me look here. That could change.
Yeah.
Because he's only been playing 23 minutes a game. Last four games, 23, 22, 17, 23.
Yeah, see, that's the matchup is nice, but I want at least 25 minutes for a guy that's 5,500. So that's a little bit tough for me.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So maybe if something changes throughout the day, then he'll become more. I think he's in a great matchup, obviously.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. But if I can go $600 cheaper in the exact kind of game where I play Alvaro Camino, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Especially since we forgot to talk about him. Yeah. Nikola Mirotic.
Yeah. Well, we didn't.
I know.
We didn't talk about him. We didn't, intentional.
Yeah, I'm just saying don't play him because he's going to be matched up against Aminu.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the kind of game where Aminu gets going. I don't want to say he's like Montrez because he's not like Montrez. They're completely different players. But I mean, as far as like the games that they thrive in, it's these kinds of games. It's the fast tempo up and down because he's a monster athlete. He's going to get open shots with all the attention being on Dame and CJ. I like him, a lot here.
Yeah, absolutely. Trey Lyles is another one that's in a really good matchup tonight.
So for every lineup that I don't have AD, and I'm going paying up elsewhere, like Westbrook and Dame or whatever, and Embiid, it's going to be Aminu and Lyles at the power forwards to kind of even it out.
Sounds good. All right, let's get to center. This should be pretty quick, pretty simple, pretty easy tonight. I'm not going to start at the top because we've got a situation we got to talk about. What are we going to do with Alex Lynn and Dwayne Dedman? Like, is there any sort of trend here that we see, or is it just the hot hand type of situation?
It's not even the hot hand. It's when Len's not a bonehead, it's Dedman. When Len is himself, it's him. I mean, it's...
So Len's got first crack.
I mean, he's the starter. He's always going to get the first crack. If he comes in there and fouls the referee, I mean, he fouls everyone. He fouls the guys in the front row, the fans. Like stop fouling. And he can't stop fouling. And then when that happens, it's going to be Dedman. And we've seen that. I mean, I played Dedman the other night and Len went off.
I did too.
It's really fun. I think we both we shared that together. Yeah, but it's tough, man.
He only had one personal foul last game. He played 27 minutes, and that relegated Dwayne Dedman to the bench, who ended up – it was like Alex Lynn sneezed on Dwayne Dedman because Dedman had four fouls in 14 minutes, and Alex Lynn had one foul in 27.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to handle it. But I wanted to see if you had noticed a trend or if it was just like if Alex Lynn just doesn't make a mistake, then he's going to sit there. So,
yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so now let's talk about it. Joel Embiid.
Lots of exposure. He's probably going to be my top center. Obviously, he's top price, so that's like, yeah, no shit, right? But, I mean, really, so Gortat starts. So you're probably going to see about 20 fantasy points in the first quarter from Embiid. Then they're going to, and this is just typical Doc, he sticks to the strip no matter who he's playing, which I don't like. He's going to bring in Montrez. And he's going to get eaten alive by Embiid. And then somewhere around the third quarter, where Embiid's just walking all over him, he's like, okay, we'll have to play Boban now. And Boban's going to come in. Now, Boban's not going to stop Joel Embiid, but Boban will get in his face. Like, he'll get in his way. I remember there was a game last year.
As long as he doesn't try to undress him. I say that because 30 seconds after he entered the game against Oklahoma City, he literally tried to undress Steven Adams.
His jersey. But yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Dude, he almost ripped it.
Yeah.
And make no mistake, Boban will make Joel Embiid look bad or look small.
Look small.
Bad, look small.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to, bug him a little bit. That doesn't scare me at all, though.
Do you think Joel talks about talks about Boban's ears?
You mean after the game?
No, just to his, like, hey, dude, your ears, you got to get those fixed. Because you know what? If I was Boban, what my response would be, hey, dude, did you see that chick in the front row? That's my wife.
That's right. That's right. You go chase Rihanna while I take her home.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think Boban is really just going to kind of sit there and stare at him and not say anything. Because he seems like that kind of guy. But I mean, it's hard not to play Embiid. I mean, he before Boban even comes in, he could be at 50. So anything gets over that is extra up. So,
yeah.
I mean, I like to play a lot. So I took a little bit of shit yesterday for having a man crush on Jokic.
Dude, the matchup was so nice.
I mean, listen, I'm glad you said that because for me, like, versus the Bulls, he was like 10K. I think he may have been under, maybe 9,800 yesterday. I'm not sure what it was. But, and a lot of it was, well, the game went into overtime. That's why he crushed value. I'm like, well, guess what? Three other games also went into overtime.
Yeah.
And those centers, and he ended up outscoring Drummond, who was pretty much same price. I mean, a little bit less, but not that far off. And it took overtime for Drummond to get there, too. So, what's the deal? I'm not sure. But when I see Jokic in a matchup that I like, I don't care. I'm going to play him. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
He's got triple-double upside for a center. I mean, where else can you really say that, in today's game for centers? It's such a guard-driven league, and ball handler and stretch players league. When you can have a true center like that, that can get triple-doubles on a nightly, look at this matchup.
Yep.
I mean, outside of Sacramento, the center is the weakest in Cleveland. So, I mean, he should be able to swallow Tristan Thompson. So, he's up there. I like it. I like Cauley-Stein a lot here, I think. So, as you know, I do a lot more than just look at the numbers, which I do a lot of too. But I also spend a lot of time watching and listening to interviews of players and coaches and that kind of stuff.
I mean, we do the same thing.
You get a lot of good information there. And Cauley was saying, look, man, we haven't had this kind of great energy and just happiness and excitement about basketball since I've been to Sacramento. He's like, this is the first year I'm seeing this. He goes, we want to play again. He's like, we're happy to play, and we're going to go out there. And he gets Alex Len on him. So I'm going to have some Cauley-Stein exposure. It's just after noon here for me, and I'm at about 40% right now, Cauley-Stein. Just to give you an idea of how much I like Cauley-Stein.
Yep, absolutely. Al Horford versus Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely in play.
Okay.
Bigs versus Milwaukee is what you want. So,
Brook Lopez versus Boston.
Man, so the DS loves him. Listen, he's under 5K, guys. I mean, this is a guy who's going to play just under 30 minutes. Versus a team that historically and you know, recently, not historically, recently, over the last year or 2 years, seasons just doesn't do well versus bigs. So, I mean, it's kind of an easy play. If I mean, the problem I have here is on DraftKings, it's a little bit easier because you can play another one of the centers with the dual position eligibility.
Yep.
Here on FanDuel, the problem is if I'm playing Brooke Lopez, I don't get Cauley, I don't get Jokic, I don't get Embiid, I don't get any of these guys. So that's a little bit hard for me to swallow, but it's not the worst.
Yeah. Steven Adams.
I mean, he's priced really well.
I think if you're talking cash games.
Yes, yes, yes.
Steven Adams is your guy.
And he's the guy because his floor is great because he does everything down low for them. Obviously, pick and roll is phenomenal too. Rebounds, shot blocks, all that stuff. But what I don't, just kind of to your point, what I don't see is him coming up with like a 55-point game, which is what you would really need to take something down. The reason why I think he's even more so in cash also is because he's going to have a lot of one of the Zeller brothers on him. So I think it's Cody there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a poor defender, but he doesn't have the strength to really deal with Steven Adams. And so they're kind of weak at that position. So I think, that's where I'm going to be looking.
Yep.
For cash games.
Yep. So, I don't think there's anybody else that we really need to get to.
No, I'm waiting for the day that, I don't know, somebody may get hurt over there or something, and we start to see like a 25 minutes from Kufis. Then I'll start looking at him because Kufis is a good player.
He's either going to need to be traded or Willie Cauley-Stein's going to need to miss.
That's what I'm saying. When someone is missing, right, which is not today. But at the same time, we've also seen it happen when the team's healthy. So, but I'm looking forward to that day. Not today, though.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that day because that means that we don't get to play Willie Cauley-Stein.
Do you think, because of Steven Adams' size, that we might see a little more Willie Hernan Gomez?
I don't know what that's going to do. I think
it's their only other body, really.
I think Zeller's going to have to... You might see a little bit more Frank Kaminsky.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think any of them can combat with it.
Yeah.
So, that's my whole thing, is, like, this is the worst possible matchup for the Charlotte Hornets as far as the way that Oklahoma City runs their offense and what they do and everything like that. Like, it's just worse. It's just horrible. Because they don't have anything to like, Kemba can't stay in front of Russ. Who can guard? Nick Batum can match up with Paul George. He can contain him. He can't slow him down. He can't stop him completely. And, you know, you've got guys like Jeremy Grant who jumps out of the gym. It's just... It's not good, and it's going to take a total team effort for the Hornets to actually like win this game. So yeah, it's going to be evenly spread out. It's not going to be one guy dominating. It's going to be, you know, Batum getting hot in the third quarter, Lamb getting hot in the second, Kemba getting hot in the fourth, stuff like that. Like it's going to be who's the hot hand in what quarter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or somebody's going to have the night of their life. Just the way that the matchups play out is horrible. And even if we did see Willie Hernan Gomez, I don't think that he's viable because I think he's in there to try to slow Adams down by fouling. And so he's in there to foul to get him to the free throw line.
Yeah.
So, all right. We good?
We're good.
All righty, guys. That's going to do it for us today. Six games tonight. Let's have some fun. Hope everybody had a good Halloween. It's November. So we will be out of here. for Bear, for myself, for the DFS Army, we gone.